Named as one of the best plays of the 20th century by the New York Times and Time magazine, The Mystery of Irma Vep, A Penny Dreadful, is currently running on the Berkshire Theater Group's Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts. Aaron Mark directs Charles Ludlam's campy comedy for BTG, which tells the tale of Lady Enid and Lord Edgar, who arrive one stormy night at a haunted and dreary estate to investigate the sudden disappearance of Irma Vep. Side-splitting antics and mysteries unfold as the two journey from the London Manor to the ancient pyramids in Egypt with vampires, werewolves, mummies, and more in tow in the satire of Victorian melodrama, gothic horror, and classic films. What is not to love there? Well, Broadway actors Bill Bowers and Tony Award nominated Tom Hewitt take on 8 characters in this classic romp of a gothic spoof, and it is a great pleasure to welcome them both to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks, Joe. Thank
nice you. To be here.
So it's very nice to have you with us. You have both appeared on BTG stages before.
Yes.
Yeah, I was here actually 10 years ago this summer doing a play that I wrote called It Goes Without Saying. And the year before that, I was in a production of Peter Pan that was directed by Eric Hill.
Excellent. So you have also...
Yeah, like I guess maybe 13, 14 years ago in a production of 13 Rue de l'Amour. And then the next year I was here in Hay Fever with Joanne Woodward.
Not bad.
I know, right?
Yeah. Pretty fun.
Yeah, exactly. That was really fun. Very, very fun.
Okay, so I may get back to that. But okay. So let's talk about this show. And because it just sounds like an awful lot of fun.
It is. It's going to be more and more fun as we do it, I think, too.
It's it's a little fun now. It'll be a lot fun.
It's been a hard one to learn. It's a really challenging play, but it's also just absolutely hilarious. So,
what is hard about it? Is it timing?
Yes, and the fact that, you know, it's the two of us and we never leave the stage, and when we do, we're changing costumes as quickly as we possibly can. So, you know, I saw the original production in 84 with Charles Ludlam and Everett Quinton and fell in love with it then, and for years afterwards have every couple of years have picked it up and thought, boy, this would be fun to do, and then after page two would go, no, it's just too damn hard. This is too much work. And we're sort of at that stage now. At first it was really fun, you know, we're figuring these characters out and these bits and it's going to be good, and then you leave the rehearsal room and you go into the theater and you have to incorporate the technical aspects and the actual costume. And the tech, you know, the physical doing of the show. So the fun sort of drains away as you figure out Velcro and lights. And but now, after a couple of performances, the fun is definitely beginning to come back.
Yeah, and the once you figure each other out and sort of, because that timing has to be set and know what each other is going to do, and then. Yeah. The trust comes in, and it's a little bit easier, I assume.
Yes, yes. The play, you know, what happens on stage is remarkably fun. The language that Charles Ludlam gave us is just, it's so much fun to say. But the backstage element of it is just this whole other animal. We each have 3 dressers on us. As soon as we step off stage, we're just basically mugged by 3 dressers who pull our clothes off and put something else on in the pitch dark. Yeah. And we're usually still in a scene, still talking to someone who's out on stage. So it's really... it's a real complicated event backstage.
It reminds me of what's going on with A Gentleman's Guide to Love and Murder on Broadway.
Absolutely.
Now,
yes.
Where you all this, you have this one character playing, you know, 20 roles or something.
Exactly,
and
just
a split second and you're somebody else.
Yeah, yeah, which is fun. It's really fun for the audience to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is, in doing something like this of a show that is funny, because I ask this to writers a lot. If once you've done the joke and you've written it and then you edit it and you revise it and then it comes back and then at some point it's not funny anymore. how do you in working it out in something especially where it has to be so precise, do you keep on working on it and on it and on it and still have it be fresh and funny for you too?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I think that'll be part of the next 3.5 weeks.
Yeah.
I think. You know, it's funny too. We the three of us, Aaron Mark, our Wunderkind director, and Bill and I read the show a few months ago, and pretty much all three of us decided that we wanted to, it's very easy to be farcical with this play. There's a lot of lotsy, really pieces of business that don't really have to do with the forward movement of the play. It's fun things that Ludlam wrote that are fun to see. We decided that we really kind of wanted to give it a kind of emotional authenticity, if I can use that phrase. You know, these characters are absurdly broad and almost cartoonish, but we wanted to give it some heart. So the jokes are in the ridiculousness of the situation as opposed to, a joke that's separate from the telling of the story. At least that's kind of our goal. And I think we, to some degree, have achieved that, mm-hmm. which is slightly miraculous.
We are two men who are at times playing two women, too. So there's just this level of ridiculousness just on that fact alone. But what Aaron, our director, has really, really encouraged us to do is not play the joke of that, is to play the absolute truth of the situation. Even though the situation, this really high-stakes vampires and werewolves event, it's all absurd, but we're playing it with what we hope is great.
Conviction.
Conviction, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
You two have performed together before.
We have. Yeah. We have. We're also both from Montana, and for a while we were neighbors. So Bill and I go back.
Were you aware? You were, and you were aware of that.
We both
grew up, yes. And
yeah,
we,
okay.
Yes,
well,
yes,
we
yes.
both grew up in Montana, but we didn't know each other in Montana at all, which is funny. Montana doesn't have a lot of people, and it certainly doesn't have a lot of actors.
We didn't really get to know each other until we shared a dressing room at the Lion King. In
Whoa!
Lane. Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And where was that, on Broadway? Or
yes, on the Broadway.
Yeah.
Bill was Zazu, the bird, and I was Scar, the evil lion. And
wow.
We shared a dressing room.
So that, I assume, and how long were you on, did you do that?
We did it together for
a year.
For a year,
yeah.
So you get to know each other pretty well.
Yeah, you get to know each other pretty well.
Pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that fun to do? Is that a fun show to do?
Well, it's great to be in something that people loved so much. But again, it was logistically a very, very difficult thing to do. Each puppet, Bill will attest to this, has its own nightmare, you know.
Yeah.
It has its own logistical difficulties and you know.
Well, Julie Taymor is set out to kill people, right? I mean,
yes, I might be. I might be a good example.
It's her master plan to destroy all actors in all of her shows.
But it's funny, Tom.
At least your posture.
Right, right.
At very least, your posture.
Exactly.
Because you as Zazu, I mean, that's a very comical role, but it's also you really, like a bird, are flitting from one place to the other.
Yeah, it's a very, very physical role, and doing any role 8 times a week for a year is challenging. So Tom and I, for some reason, every project that we're on, we're doing something wildly difficult.
We're sweaty and out of breath all the time.
Yeah.
Don't you just want to sit on a bench and do, like,
oh my God,
I'm not Rappaport or something?
Sure. I don't,
you
know. Just on the sofa with a cup of tea. That's all.
That's our plan for next summer, is to do something sitting down in our
kinda
pajamas.
Quiet. Yeah. A little drawing room murder mystery. Just got to sit down.
Yes.
Yes. But we like that, don't we, as audiences? Don't we like to see the craziness, the frenetic pace?
Well, we've had 3 preview performances so far of Room of Ep, and the audiences have really seemed to get a kick out of the whole thing. It's goes at quite a pace, and it's very, very funny.
There's a point in the show, though, when the quick changes sort of become expected. So it's like, but then later on, Ludlam sort of ups the ante towards the end, and there are some kind of spectacular quick changes, too, towards the end. So.
It's a grand finale, if you will.
It's as it were, the 11 o'clock number.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make it go on a high note. What brings you back to BTG? I'm curious, because it just seems like a wonderful playground.
It is. The times that I'd worked before, I just love this area, for one thing. I think it's just one of the most beautiful places I've ever been. And my experiences working as an actor at Berkshire Theater Festival, just one of the highlights of my life was doing Peter Pan, because I got to play Tinkerbell. I mean, how many times is that chance going to come along? So it's just one of the most enjoyable experience I'd ever had. So when the opportunity came up for us to work on Irma Vep, this was, for both of us, this was a theater we thought, let's see if we could do it here.
Bill Bowers is the most powerful man in show business because he called Kate McGuire with his suggestion that we do it, and she said yes. So then suddenly we were faced with the reality of actually having to do Irma Vep.
So at some point when the timing of the change, the costume change, is going just a split second too long, you can blame him.
Yes.
Oh, he
yes,
does.
I do, believe me, quite vocally.
I'm psychologically tortured.
tell me about the Tony nomination. How does that change life in any major way?
Not in a major way. Maybe I was for a while on a shorter list for auditions. You know what I mean? I was kind of a...
It was for Rocky Horror.
It was for the Rocky Horror show, yes. Yes, I was Frankenfurter.
Yeah.
So, you know, if there was a large drag queen, I got the call for a while, but that's really kind of not my thing. But yeah, it was, yeah, it did change a little bit.
Who'd you lose to?
Oh, it was the year of the producers.
Oh, okay.
So there was I didn't even think, it was just fun. It was like, you know, we won four Tonys. We won like direction and design and some other stuff too. So, you know, that nasty little rock and roll show did pretty well. Had I won the Tony for my performance, it would have been the death of American culture as we know it. It was just not going to happen. So it was fun. It was a great, really fun.
So who won?
Was it Nathan or Matthew? They were both, I think it was Nathan.
Oh, okay.
Nathan
all right,
Lane.
So there was no, yeah, all right.
Yeah, there's no thing. My parents came. It was a great party. It was fun, and it was great to be there.
And that cast was...
oh, my gosh. Dick Cavett was
Dick
in
Cavett.
Joan Jett.
That's right.
Alice Ripley, Lea Delaria, Jared Emick, Sebastian Lacaze was our Rocky. And the ensemble was like, they're all like superstars now. Kevin Cahoon and Dieter Goodwin. And it was really, really, really ridiculously fun.
Yeah. And since there are so many musicals now that come from cinema, playing this both, I guess I could ask you both this question for even The Lion King, of having an audience come in familiar with the material. In many cases, of knowing what's going to happen. I think of, you know, this with Rocky or even Bridges of Madison County.
Yeah.
That changes it a little bit, doesn't it?
Well, you know, in the Rocky Horror Show, there people yell things
right,
at the movie, and they yelled things at us.
Well,
on the
how
stage.
Fun!
It was it was, and it wasn't. It took a while to figure all of that out. But when we did, and on good nights, you know, Alice Ripley said it best. She said, "The audience is like another member of the cast, but they didn't have to audition." So we had, you know. All from all walks of life, people were yelling stuff at it, and sometimes it was funny and sometimes it wasn't. And I, as Frankenfurter, had to kind of host the party, so
right.
It was a little, it was an unusual and really fun and exciting and slightly dangerous situation every night.
And then Dick Cavett is just backstage telling stories, right? Is
oh
that,
my
is that
God.
All that's going on?
Oh my God, the great stories. And then he'd sort of break care. It was during the Hanging Chads era,
yes,
so
yeah.
He would just go off on a tangent on that, like on stage. It was just... hysterical. What a sweet, smart, wonderful man. What a treat to have him around.
Yeah, he's just a great raconteur. He's
totally.
Yeah.
Neat,
neat Joplin.
Guy. I mean, he just knows everybody, and it was great. It was fun.
And then Joan Jett?
She never really, she had acted before. She'd never been on the live stage before.
Oh, yeah. She had been in Light of Day, right?
Right. The Light of Day, that's it. Yeah. Michael J.
Fox.
She was fantastic, and I remember one day where I was feeling, I was kind of down on myself. I was like, things weren't happening, you know, and she literally grabbed me by the collars and had me kind of rock and roll up. She said, "You're our leader, man. You have to step up, man. You have to jump off the edge of the stage." She gave me the rock and roll talking to that I needed, and I've never forgotten that. I love that woman.
Good stuff. Well, Bill Bowers and Tom Hewitt will take on a whole host of characters, eight in all, in the wonderful Berkshire Theater Group production of The Mystery of Irma Vep, A Penny Dreadful, on the Fitzpatrick Main Stage in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, or Massachusetts, as we say in the States, through July 19th. For more information, visit berkshiretheatergroup.org, berkshiretheatergroup.org. Bill Bowers and Tom Hewitt, thank you very much for joining us. Have a wonderful run.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so
Great
much.
Pleasure. Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.